you have to set goals that are under your control. What other people do, that's not under your control. And this is a huge lesson that we have to learn.
The Diz Runs With podcast, episode 308, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we get started today, just want to remind everybody that has maybe been thinking about the Coterie and whether or not the Coterie might be right for you, that in just a couple of days, as this show goes out on September the 12th, on September the 15th, so 3 days away, the price will be going up. So if you're thinking about it and you want to act quickly, you can get in for the current price, and you'll lock in that price for as long as you're part of the group. So if that's something that you've been thinking about, check out dizruns.com/coterie, that's C-O-T-E-R-I-E, for all of the information about what the group is included, or what is included within that group as far as training goes, and the custom programs, and how the interaction works, and what the group benefits are. And if you have any questions for me, let me know. And I'll be happy to answer them. No pressure, no rush, but just know that, again, the price is going up in a couple of days. So if that's something that you're thinking about doing, you can save yourself some cash by getting in soon. So dizruns.com/coterie for all the details and information. And now let's get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, if I had to use one word to describe my guest today, it would probably be incredible. She started swimming at 24 years old, at least really seriously at 24 years old, and 2 years later, she was a world champion. In total, she has won 10 world championship medals during her 11-year swimming career. But after getting out of the pool, she decided to turn her focus towards running, and she pretty much picked up right where she left off from the swimming side of things. In addition to her athletic exploits, she's also a mom, a wife, a motivational speaker, and so much more. I'm excited to be able to connect today and chat for a little bit with Miss Terry Zacker. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Definitely. The pleasure is all mine. And guys, if you want to check out more of Terry's story and what she's up to, you can check out her website, which is insightfulrunner.com. And you can find her on Instagram and Twitter and across social media with the same handle. And it's just at Terry Zacker. And that's T-E-R-E-Z-A-C-H-E-R. And I'll have those links and the links to anything else that we talk about in the show notes for today's episode, as I always do. And you'll be able to find the links for this episode at dizruns.com/308. So, Terry, the way we always start off on the show is with a pretty simple and straightforward question that sometimes has a simple and straightforward answer, and sometimes it doesn't, but it gives us a place to start. And it's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
I love the half marathon. I always thought that I would, when I swam, I was a sprinter. So it was, everything was short, right? And anything that was, more than 25 seconds was distance for me. I know. And when I started running, I thought I was going to do 5Ks or stuff like that. But once I tried the half marathon, I just loved it. And I think it's because it's long enough that you cannot wing it. I'm not saying that you can wing a 5K, but if you run a little, maybe you can finish. A half marathon, you have to train for it. It's fast, but not, to the point like a 5K or a 1500 when you're going to get really, really uncomfortable. But you also have to use a lot of mental aspects in order to finish, because you do hit the wall at some point. So I don't know. I love it. And I think that it suits well, my physical abilities.
Ah, in what way? Is it just kind of that higher speed over a drawn out period of time, or can you unpack that a little bit more?
Yeah, and I think with me the main thing has been, and I think that this is the reason why I chose to be a sprinter in the pool. It's because I was not mentally. I mean, I was mentally very strong, but my focus and my concentration wouldn't last for a long period of time, and becoming a marathon runner, the main thing for me is not, I don't want to say that I don't work hard physically, but it's been more the mental aspect of just keep your focus for that long of a time, you know, without just letting your mind wander. Mm-hmm. And with the half marathon, it's long enough that I can still keep my focus without having to make, I mean, I do make a big effort with my mind, but you know, it's not like as long as the marathon. Right. I don't know. I'm still getting there.
Well, I mean, it's a process for all of us, certainly. And you know, with the time of your life when you really started focusing on running, I mean, you're still in the early-ish stages of that part of your career. So, you know, as that mental part continues to develop, I mean, you know, who knows where that'll be able to take you once you really be able to lock that in.
True. You know what? I'm a firm believer that the sky is the limit, mm-hmm. and you are the only one that sets your own limitations. People may tell you what you can do, and it's your choice whether you believe it or not. But hopefully you won't believe what other people tell you that you can do, because the only person that can set your own limitations, it's yourself. And most of the time, we think this is my limit, but that's just a thought. Mm-hmm. You can still push it. So yes, you know, like I always tell people, I am 5'8". So will I ever be 6 feet tall? Well, unless I wear high heels, right?
But, right.
But naturally, no, I won't. You know, there's no way that I will be 6 feet tall. I've tried and it didn't work. So I cannot go beyond my actual physical limitations like that one. But you can always expand what you have set as your limits, what you mm-hmm. think are your limits. So most of the time, you know, I hear people saying, well, I'm 50. There's no way that I'm ever going to be fast again. I'm like, well, no, because you don't think you will, right? So.
Well, and yeah, and with that type of you know, mindset, like, you know, if you say, you know, there's no way I could ever do this, then yeah, clearly you're setting yourself up for success or for defeat. You're putting yourself in a bad situation. But you also, you know, there's nothing wrong with sometimes reframing things a little bit. Like you know, if you were a top level sprinter when you were 20, like you may never be that fast again, but there's nothing that says you can't improve speed. You can't still get much faster. And who knows, you know, how close to that pace that you know, who knows what you're capable of, like you said, as long as you're not telling yourself it's impossible from the start.
Yeah, and I think that you touch a very important subject here. You know, most of the time we compare ourselves with ourselves before or with mm-hmm. other people, and that's never fair. I have made that mistake, right? I compare myself to other people, or I'm not as fast as whatever. I'm not doing this much as whatever. Or, you know, a month ago I was feeling this way, but the truth is, you only have today. Mm-hmm. So as long as today you try to go and expand your limit, you know, and today be the best version of yourself, you're always going to be progressing.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing to stay focused on, is that I know you have a background in sports psychology and working with different athletes to help improve the mental game. Are there tricks, or are there things that we can do to try to help to, stay more focused on the present and stay more focused on ourselves, instead of, you know, I mean, with social media, like you log on to whatever your platform of choice is, and there's a thousand people talking about today I had a great run, and like, so it's so easy to compare ourselves with others, as much as we know that maybe that's, you know, what we shouldn't be doing, it's hard to get away from it. So are there ways that you've learned to help dial in that focus?
Yeah. So, there are many things. Lately, I've been taking a mindfulness class. It's a meditation class where you just, you know, learn to focus on your breathing. So it sounds really easy. It's really, really hard, because right. You close your eyes, you know, you start breathing and just focusing on your breathing and what you're feeling at that moment. And then you have a thought, right? Mm. But of course, it's just, this is what I tell my athletes. It's just like training. If you try a new skill today, whatever that skill is, if you're swimming, right, it might be the flip turn or keeping your elbow high or whatever. Mm-hmm. In running, you know, maybe sustaining a certain tempo, whatever it is. You have to practice and practice and practice. And at the beginning, you're going to be uncomfortable, but eventually it will become easier. It's the same with this. You have to learn how to just focus on what's going on right now with you, you know, the present moment, what you're doing right now. So if you're running, not to think about the next mile or, oh my gosh, you know, I still have 10 more of this. And when you see other people doing other stuff, you have to always remember your focus should be on yourself. So that's one thing. The other thing that I do a lot is setting goals. And I was, it's funny because I coach a high school swim team that I love. And it's just a short season, 3 months, 4 months of the year. And these are teenagers, right? And we just this Monday, we were just doing goal setting. So I said, okay, guys, I want you to tell me your goals. And, you know, there's a girl said, I want to get a medal in the state. The other one said, well, I want to go 57 in my 100 fly. I said, okay, so what's the problem with these goals? The problem is that they are out of your control. So you have to set goals that are on your under your control. What other people do, that's not under your control. And this is a huge lesson that we have to learn. If you're focusing on things that are out of your control, you're going to be frustrated all the time. But if you focus on the things that you can control, then, you know, you have the power to make them happen or not. So what the other person is doing, that's great for them, but that's their journey in life. Mm-hmm. You have your own journey. You have your own goals. And so it's very important to set, you know, your overall goal, but also, you know, going back to my swimmer, she wants to get a medal. I said, well, that's great. But what if, you know, you swim the fastest time of your life and three other people swim faster than you? So what do you do there, right? So have it's okay. It's good to have this kind of goals because that's what's going to make you wake up in the morning and work hard and all this stuff. But you have to have, you know, performance goals, process goals. Like, what do I need to improve that it's under my control? So that if I don't get the time that I want at the end of the day, at least I knew that, you know, I kept my mind where it had to be. I started at the pace that I had to start. I pushed when I was feeling this way, whatever it is that each person has to work on. So I think that that helps a lot just to focus on yourself and having, you know, weekly goals, having your daily goal, because it gives purpose to your training. So let's say that today, for example, I had a 12 mile run. It was an easy run. So I'm running and I do notice at some point, I'm like, oh my gosh, my pace is awful. And I'm like, hey, wait, remember today's an easy goal. I mean, an easy day. It's just a recovery run. You don't have to push today. It's okay. So I do talk to myself and I tell these things because, you know, I see another fast runner going by me and I feel the need to just push and, oh, you're running fast. I'm going to show you that I can run fast, right? But then I just remember, hey, you know, you have your own training. Just trust your training. Just trust what you're doing with yourself. And that's the thing. You have to trust your own process.
Yeah, and I think that for me, what stood out from what you were saying or where I kind of where my mind went was that, you know, that to break it down into some things that like you said, as a process. So, you know, step one, step two, step three, like the end goal might be step 50, but you can't take step one to step 50. You got to take step one to step two and try to chunk it down into, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use, whether it's bite-sized chunks or, you know, one step at a time or 1 mile at a time or whatever, that, you know, the way that you're going to get to those big goals is one little bit at a time.
I agree completely. I have another kid, well, I mean, 18 years old, right? When you're my age, you know, they are kids. So anyway, he is injured right now. So he's like, well, but I want to run this fast. And I'm saying, okay, hold on. You will, but you can think about running right now, because right now, step one, as you say, is to get healthy. Right? So what do you need to do in order to get healthy? So that once you get that, then you can go into, okay, the next step will be easing back into running. And then the next step will be, you know, maybe start doing some speed here, maybe do, you know, next step. And then you can think about the other thing. So yes, I love what you said. Yes.
And it's something that's certainly hard to do. I know that for me, one of my big goals, and I've talked about this dozens of times on the show, is to run Boston. And I'm still 50 minutes or so, 55 minutes from hitting my qualifying time. So it's like, it's this big goal and it's out there. But it's almost, I don't know, like I struggle with how to chunk it down, because it's like, do I want to say that by a certain date I want to get to Boston? Do I, you know, try to run certain, you know, number of races and chunk it down, you know, 5 minutes at a time or 10, you know, if I have a really great day, maybe it bumps up a little bit faster. It's a tough thing to do, but I think I'm kind of assuming from listening to you, talking and sharing some of the examples from some of the people that you work with, the kids that you coach, that it's just, you know, you can almost never chunk it down small enough. You just keep chipping away and make them pieces that you can take and keep working on getting there eventually.
Well, you said something. You said, do I want to run it by this date? So let me just get you right there. You can't think of a date. You have to believe that it will happen with every single cell of your body. It will happen when it's the right time for you. So this is the key for, especially for runners or, you know, athletes in general, when it's the right time, not when you want it to happen, when it's the right time. Because if you think, if you set, a, I mean, yes, you have to have certain, you know, date so that you keep training for that, of course. But again, if you say, I have to qualify for Boston, you know, in 2017, then, you know, maybe you, maybe you're just getting in the way of the process. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not in 2017 that you will qualify. It will be in 2018. Maybe it will be before. I don't know. Right. So you have, again, this is out of your control. The date is out of your control. You have to write down, you know, every single step. So this is what we do. We have four different areas. Physical, so all the physical things that you need to improve, you know, whether it is your stride, where it is your, the way that you're putting your foot in you know, in the floor. Maybe it is your arm swing. Maybe it is your breathing. Maybe it is, so everything that has to do with the physical, right? Strength, maybe, you know, I'm getting injured because I don't have enough strength on my hips or whatever, my glutes. So all the physicals, and you write down all the, everything that you can think about, you write down on that area. Then performance. So when I go out and I run, what do I do in a race? Well, this is me. This is a true story, right? I used to go out and just kill the first half. And then I would be dying, right? Because I have no... So performance for me is just hold myself, go out at this pace, you know, and then hold it there and then try to increase it by 5 seconds or whatever it is, right? So that's performance. And then... you have the mental aspect too. By the way, on the physical, you also write nutrition, water intake, sleeping, recovery, all this stuff. And then on the mental, right? Do I, when I'm talking to myself, am I too negative? Am I almost saying, oh my gosh, this is so hard. Oh my gosh, I cannot do this. You know, or oh, I'm so tired, whatever you're telling yourself. So what's your thoughts? Or do I get too nervous before a race that I, you know, almost freeze or whatever it is that you need to work, my confidence, my whatever it is, right? So you write these things down, as many as you can think that you need to improve. So instead of you looking at them and saying, oh, you know, I suck, I have all this stuff that I need to improve, you have to see them as, oh, this is great. I have those all these areas that I, you know, that these are opportunities for me to be better. So then you choose one in each category. And you start working for that. And that will be your weekly goal. So I'm going to choose this one and I'm going to nail it. And once I nail it and I don't have to think about it because it's a part of me now, like, you know, let's say eating, right? Or drinking water or whatever it is. So now I'm not thinking about it. That's just part of me. Then I can move to the next one. Then I can move to the next one. And what's happening is that you are just becoming the perfect runner or the perfect version of yourself or the better you, right? By not even realizing it. But then this gives sense and purpose to each one of your workouts too, because now you go out and you're thinking, okay, today I'm going to work on my cadence, for example. This is what I need to improve, or my strength or whatever it is, right? So then you have it and you're just working on them day by day by day by day. And eventually, when you least expect it, you will be qualifying, because now your focus, well, because now your focus is not on the result. So you have the end result there. You have the end goal, right? You want to qualify. That's why you're doing all these little things. But because you are working on each little thing at a time, you're also not forcing the process to happen. You're taking care of the process so that it will happen. Gotcha. Does that make sense?
No, it definitely does. I wonder, and maybe you have a, I'm sure you have an opinion. We'll see where it goes. But I wonder if you know, hearing this, my two impressions are that, you know, you got to take care of all the little things and the little steps along the way, and you got to be patient and kind of trust the process. And I wonder if runners and maybe athletes in general, if they struggle more with the patience piece or the breaking down the big picture to focus on the little steps, or if it's you know, really a fairly even split of the both that we as an athletic population struggle with the most when it comes to tackling those big goals.
I think it's definitely the patience. I am, again, I am a clear example. I mean, I've everything that I'm telling you, I've done it the right way, but I also did it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So, which is not fun. So I'm sure you know this because, you know, you work with athletes, you work with a lot of runners. How many times something is hurting and instead of listening to our body and taking care of it and say, okay, now I have to refocus a little. It's mm-hmm. hurting. I have to be patient. Maybe I'm not going to run for a week and I'm going to take care of this. Instead of that, what do? We push. And then what happens? We break. Mm-hmm. And then what happens when you're broken? You know, you have to take not 1 week, but, you know, a month off.
Right.
But then instead of taking that month off, what do? 3 weeks in, we're like, oh, it's enough. You know, I'm just going to go back and I'm going to run. And again, I'm telling you this not because I'm awesome, just because I was injured for so long because I was totally impatient. Mm. And now I think about, oh my gosh, I didn't want to stop 2 weeks. And that's why I broke really bad. And that was so dumb because then I had to stop for 3 months, right? Instead of 2 weeks. So.
Right.
So I learned the wrong way, but
yeah, it's tough. And I'll tell you, I mean, you know, again, from speaking from my experience, it's a whole lot easier to tell the people that I'm working with, the runners that I'm working with, that they need to take a little extra time, than it is to take that medicine yourself and be like, you know what, like, I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah. Like I need to still, you know, after I just ran a marathon a couple of weeks ago and it's like, you know, I was real good of setting my time for how long I was going to not run beforehand. And if I wouldn't have done that, I think it would have been much tougher to give myself enough time to recover before I started easing back in, and then easing back in too, you know, not just hitting the ground running, but just get back into it gently. Like it's okay. If it takes an extra week till you're back to your quote unquote normal training, that's, you know, 9 times out of 10, that's going to prevent you from having some other more serious injury that's going to keep you out even longer.
Well, and you know what I've learned, talking about swimming and running, swimming, if you take a week off, you pay for it. I mean, it hurts you really, really bad. Running, you can take 2 weeks off and it won't really hurt you. You know, I mean, you may think that it hurts you, but it doesn't really hurt you that much.
Right. That's interesting. Do you think comparing the two, is it because of the water resistance? Is it just the muscles that from the swimming that hurt you when you take that time off?
Well, I think it's because we're not used to being in the water. I mean, you're always walking, right? Or standing. So that movement comes natural to us. When you're in the water, you know, first of all, you are not standing up. You're horizontal. Mm-hmm. And then more than that is just the feeling of the water. Just make sure that you're pulling water and that you're, you know, moving it, threading it the right way. So when you don't do that, it's not the endurance that you lose. It's that feeling for the water that it's hard, you know?
Gotcha. Speaking about the water, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about your time as a swimmer. Cause it's pretty amazing from the, you know, stuff I've seen online and whatnot that, I mean, basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, but basically, you know, splash around a little bit, but really started to be serious about swimming. And then a couple of years later, you're swimming in the world championships and winning a gold medal. Like how did you progress that quickly? You know, it's one thing to like win a regional meet or something like that in a couple of years, but like world championships, that's pretty, pretty just incredible. Amazing.
Well, you know what? It's just funny because I always think of myself as I'm not a swimmer. I mean, for a while that was my identity, but I became a swimmer. Like I forced myself into being a swimmer. My husband, he's a swim coach, and he is just a natural. He has this fantastic feeling for the water. He doesn't swim in years, and he gets in the water and he just moves, right? And I had to learn how to be efficient in the water. But I don't know. I loved it so much, and it was just my happy place. And I found that person that believed in me, that thought that I could, and he believed in me as much as I believed in me, in myself. So, you know, it was just a good combo. Now, let me tell you something. I have never worked as hard for anything in my life as that. I mean, I don't want to say that I don't work hard in running or in other things that I do, but swimming, seriously, I mean, it was just awful. it was like that. But I don't know. I had I loved swimming, and I had the fortune of having I was swimming at a pool in Mexico. That's, you know, I joined a swim team, and I'm very, very competitive, and I am very black and white. I'm learning now that there are grays in between and that grays are beautiful, and I'm actually liking them. But I was very, you know, if I'm going to do something, I'm all in or not at all. So I joined the team, and, you know, I started swimming, and I always thought, well, I can do this. I started getting a little bit better. I talked to the coach, and I said, hey, you know, one day I would like to qualify for nationals. And he looked at me up and down, and he said, well, it's not going to happen. He said, you don't have the, you know, you're not built as a swimmer. You're old, and I'm not going to waste my time with you. It's like, you should just know that now. So, you know, I went home and I cried, and I just thought, oh my gosh, my career is over and it hasn't even started, right? And I went to, you know, at that some point, I just realized, I'm like, hey, wait a minute, who's this guy to tell me what I can and cannot do? I have to try. If it doesn't happen, at least I'll try, because I live by the philosophy that I rather tried and say, oh, that went really wrong, right? But at least I know than wondering what would have happened. So then I came and I met this other guy who was a brand new coach, my same age. I told him what I wanted to do, and his only answer was, when? I said, when what? He said, when do you want to qualify for nationals? I said, oh, I don't know, whenever, I don't care. He said, okay, because if you tell me, you know, now, it's not going to happen. He's like, let's try. So we tried. He wanted to be a really good coach. He got into a lot of, you know, books and asking and whatever. And he got me, and he got my personality really well, and I trusted him. So speaking of trust, whatever he would tell me, I would do. I never questioned why, because I knew that we were working for the same goal. And I don't know, I think that the key is that I started working with a mental coach, and I think that's where I fell in love with sports psychology. And he just taught me how to tune everything out and just focus on what I was doing at the time and believe in myself. And, you know, and then I got lucky because I won by 1/100 of a second. So I really got lucky.
Well, but I mean, to tie that back to what you'd said before about goals, if the goal was to get there, you know, that's something that is maybe more in your control than if saying the goal was to win a gold medal. Cause like you said, it's a you know, a fraction of a second reaction at the start, or you're at the right part of your stroke at the end where you're reaching for the wall at full reach instead of, you know, kind of being halfway through a stroke, type of thing that maybe separates it. But, when you said you wanted to compete at nationals, when did the goal switch to competing at the worlds? Because I mean, I'm not in the swimming world, but I feel like the difference between the nationals and the world has to be, you know, that's a pretty big jump, I would think.
Well, you know what, I do remember perfectly. I qualified for nationals like 4 months after or whatever. So we went to nationals, and I remember, even though I was the oldest one, I remember seeing the girls that were good, right? And I would look at them, and I would feel like, oh my gosh, like, wow, right? Like, I don't know, like right now you see Usain Bolt, right? And you see, you think, oh my God, whatever. And I was kind of impressed, but I've always been this, I don't know, my personality is just, I see them, I think this is awesome, but then it moves quickly into, how come I'm not there? You know, like I could be there, even if I don't know if I could, right? But I immediately think, well, they have 2 feet, 2 hands. I think that I can. So I don't like not being, now it's different, but but I love to be in the spotlight too, right? Like, okay, how come they're winning everything and I'm not? I want to be there, right? I want to be the one that goes there. So I came back and I told my coach, I said, Pablo, I really want to be, I want to win. I was like, okay, let's work for that. He's like, but that's not under your control. I said, I know, but I want to be, like, I want to be in finals. So then I came and I qualified for, it was Central American Games, I think, and I knew that it was going to be the qualification. I swam my first event, and I swam well, and it just opened the door to maybe this, you know what, this can happen. And I don't know, I just remember it was just like if you come into a room and you turn the switch on, it's just that easy, but at the same time, it's just that hard, right? I just remember from a moment, I look at them and I thought, we train the same. Why is one of them going to win and not me? So I just realized, you know what? I mean, I've been training really hard, right? Mm-hmm. I've been doing everything I could do. I would, oh my gosh, I ate so well when I was a swimmer. I don't do that anymore. But I mean, I still eat well, but not like that.
Right.
You know, it was, so I just thought, well, why not me? Why not right now? And just opening my mind to that possibility that it could be me, you know, it just, that changed everything. It's like, well, maybe it's me. And then, you know, I just, you know how they say, fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
That was me. I would just started, you know, believing that I was that person. And then, so I qualified. We went to the Mexican team to Central American Championships, which was a super awesome experience. And that just, you know, I don't know. It's just like now I saw myself as, well, of course, I am this good, you know?
Right.
I am good. And don't get me wrong. I don't think that I carry myself outside thinking and telling people, well, you know, it's me, I'm this good. I mean, come on, you know, because I was just telling you, know, about Rio, how you think you're good. Well, there's many other people that are faster than you, prettier mm-hmm. than you, smarter than you, all this stuff. But you have to believe that you are that good in order to make things happen.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I love how we keep going back to the mental side, because I really think that's the area of my running that I struggle with the most. You know, I may not have all the best, you know, physical habits or even, you know, the best genealogical type of stuff to be that, you know, an elite runner. But I know that if I could get my mind dialed in between, you know, with the training that I'm doing the results could be much better than what they have been. And so that's been the piece that I've been working on. So it's good to hear just different angles of the story of how the mental side and believing in yourself and having some confidence and you know, it's just a reminder that that's the road that I need to keep moving on down.
Well, yeah, true. And then, you know how you just said, maybe you don't have the physical, whatever, that's you telling yourself that you are not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just putting that limit there. I'm going to give you a perfect example. I was very skinny coming, growing up. I mean, that's just my body, I guess. When I started swimming, I was, oh gosh, I want to say 123 pounds, right? I built muscle. I never took anything that was not allowed because I got tested, right?
Right.
I oh my gosh, I ate all those crappy, you know, protein shakes and and I worked really hard at the gym. I got up to probably 145 pounds. I mean, I was huge, but I didn't have any body fat, so it was just muscle. So go from that, I am 111 pounds right now.
Wow.
Because I'm running marathons.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't diet. I don't do crash diets. I mean, I tried that once and it didn't go well. But it's just your body takes the physical shape that is going to be, you know, serving your purpose for what you're doing right now. So if you train the right way, if you eat the right way, your body somehow will go, and again, right? Can I be 90 pounds? Yes, but I will die.
Right.
So I will never be that skinny because, I mean, I could, but it would be really, really, really bad, right?
Right.
I would, but, you know, but this is a good weight for me and I'm not starving myself and I'm running well. If I get down, then I will break. Mm-hmm. If I get a little bit up, maybe I will carry some weight with me when I'm running, so it's not helpful, right?
Right.
But my point is, there's 30 pounds difference and same body fat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can make yourself whatever you want.
Right. No, definitely. That's, I didn't even catch how I you know, had that limiting talk until you mentioned it. And I was like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I just did. And so clearly I still have lots of ground to continue to work on and continue just to improve on the mental side of things. When you, decided to hang up the bathing suit and the goggles. At what point did you start, you know, going to, I want to run seriously now at this point? Cause, you know, kind of feel like, you know, when you finish a good career like that, you know, maybe it's kind of time to transition out of competitive athletics. And that for you, it seems like it's just kind of, you know, the launching off point. So what was that thought process like?
Well, So I was still swimming. I came to the States because of swimming and school. And I met my husband, who is he's the head coach at Scottsdale Aquatic Club. And, you know, I just came to whatever, and then I met him, and then we fell in love right away, and we got married like 3 months after, and then I was still planning on swimming, and I actually thought, oh, maybe he can coach me, right? Mm-hmm. And 2 months after we got married, I was trying a sit, and I was feeling really tired, and I just knew that I was pregnant. Like, mm-hmm. I just knew. So then I had my daughter, and our life is swimming, because with Kevin, you know, my husband, mm-hmm. we're always in the pool, or we're always in a swimming meet, or he is, right? So mm-hmm. I love this, because it's like I am still part of the swimming world, right? and I try to keep training, but the swimming, it takes forever. I mean, you have to train hours and hours and hours, and the swimming meets are so long, kind of like the track meets, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I was 34. I knew, as you said, I knew I didn't have the drive. I knew that it was going to be really hard. Maybe I could improve, but I just really didn't have the drive, because I wanted to be with my daughter. And so I just, you know, slowly I was like, maybe I'll compete next year. Maybe whatever. At the same time, I have a friend who was going to run the Rock and Roll Marathon. Mm. So he called me. He said, hey, would you run with me on Saturday? I have 16 miles. I said, sure. Because in my mind, I was still Mexican. I mean, I'm still Mexican, right? But my mind was Mexican, and I thought 16 kilometers, right?
So it's like, just a little difference between 16K and 16
miles. Of
course,
right? I'm like, oh, I can totally do that. So I went out, and I ran with him. And I love running. I've always loved running. So I ran with him, and the next day I was so sore. Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh. But I really enjoyed it. So I started running with him every Saturday, just like, you know, because he had to do his long run. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'll run with you. So then he's like, why don't you run with me? I said, well, sure, I'll run the marathon. So I ran the marathon that first year, but I was still not into running, right? And of course, I finished my marathon, and I'm like, I'm never doing this again, ever. Because we always say that, right? Mm-hmm. Then I learned that. So anyway, I don't like exercising for exercising. I am a very goal-oriented person. So I decided that I was going to be a triathlete because, oh, well, I'm enjoying running and I swim. Mm-hmm. So I bought a bike. My poor husband had to buy a bike that it's hanging in my garage. So anyway, I bought my bike. I started doing triathlons. And, I mean, it was okay, you know, but I didn't love them. And I remember telling Kevin, I said, oh, my gosh, you know, it's just I hate the swimming part. I hate it because it's open water. It's mm-hmm. long distance. Then the bike, I mean, it's fine. I said, but then there comes the run. I'm like, that's why I do triathlons, because then I get to run. And he goes, well, that's really silly. Why don't you just run, right? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you can just run. I'm like, people do that? He's like, yeah, you know. He's like, of course. Don't you see that there are races all the time? I'm like, oh, I'm going to start running. And that's how I started running. Wow. Just, you know, but you know what? Now that I was telling you this story, I was thinking, my parents got a divorce when I was 5. My mom, we were living with my mom, and I think that running was her therapy. Mm-hmm. And so we, in Mexico, we belong to this sports club. So she would take us, my brother was 2, the poor thingy. She would take us at 5:30 in the morning to the club, because we didn't have a nanny or anything. Mm-hmm. So she could run. And I just felt, because I've always had this thing, I have to keep up with everything, right? I felt that I had to keep up with her. So she was running, I don't know, 5 miles, and I would run 1. And, you know, I would just be like, I have to run, I have to run, I have to run. But I liked it. So I think that somehow it was just hidden there, that love for running. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think that makes sense. And then, you had a little chance to kind of be away from it for a while when you were focusing on the swimming. And maybe that kind of almost makes that attraction for running even stronger, because you hadn't been able to do it, or hadn't done it as much for a period of time.
Yep, that's true. It's my mom's fault.
20 years from now, your daughter's going to be saying the same thing about you, about something. It'll be your fault about something.
Oh, I know. I'm prepared for that.
So you talked about goals a couple times, and you know, both from your experience as an athlete and as a coach. When you got into running, what was your goal at that point, and has the goal changed, or are you still after it, or what is the goal now?
Well, my goals have changed, yes. But my goal when I started running, I wanted to run a 5K, because I thought I was going to be a 5K runner, right? Mm. Like, I just want to run 19 minutes of 5K and that's it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I went out and I did my first 5K. I'm not trying to brag at all. So excuse me if I come across like that. It's just, you know, running comes very natural to me. Mm-hmm. And again, and I'm very competitive. So I went out and it was my first 5K and I was running and I told a guy, I'm gonna run 19 minutes. And he's like, oh, I'll pace you. So then I'm like, why did I say that right now? I have to run with him. So I swear to God, I thought I was going to die. And I just remember the last mile thinking, who's going to tell my husband that I died? And who's going to come get me? And what's going to happen to me? It was awful. But I did run 19 minutes. So then that kind of opened my mind to, oh, maybe I can run a marathon. Maybe I can qualify for trials. Maybe I can, because I always dream super big, because I think if you reach for the stars, all you get are the stars. But if you reach for the heavens, then you get the stars thrown in. So the worst that can happen is it won't happen, but something good will happen on the way. So then I realized that I could be good and competitive and whatever. And I just started, you know, training. And then I became really obsessed. Again, I'm telling you, I made all the mistakes with making things happen. I ran a marathon and I wanted to win and I was injured. So I finished the marathon. I didn't win. I was third place. But I made a lot of damage to my leg. Mm. But then, you know, because I had already all these goals lined up in a progression that I thought had to go, I didn't take the time to recover. So then, you know, I just ended pushing. But this was the best thing that happened to me because I learned so much about myself. I learned so much about, I've never been injured before. Mm. So how am I going to be telling my athletes, you know, that are injured and come to see me? Oh, yeah, I know what you're going through. If I didn't know, right. I thought I knew. Oh, my gosh, I didn't. So now at least I can relate to them, right? And it also helped me to just realize I started running because I love it. It just, I'm sure you get this. It just makes me so happy. I can't explain it. It just makes me happy. I go out and I run and it's just, you know, the wind and you see things. I mean, it's just beautiful. I love it. And being injured made me realize, again, my first goal was to get healthy, to be able to run. I was like, forget about running fast. Who cares, right? Mm-hmm. And then once I was able to run fast again, it was just like, well, let's see if I can finish, you know, and then, well, okay, so it's just, let's enjoy the moment. But then I got asthma. Well, I have asthma, but my asthma triggered really, really, really bad. And it became a thing where it's totally out of my control. If you are injured and you have pain, you can block the pain. It's not going to be good, but you can still do it, right? You can push through the pain. When you have asthma and you cannot breathe, you cannot block that because you can breathe, right? Physically, yeah. I mean, so that humbled me so much because then when I have good days and I can run, I just, you know, I'm just so thankful. When I have a really good workout, I'm just really thankful. And then there are days that, you know, my asthma triggers and I can't, and I just think, well, okay, you know, it's okay, maybe tomorrow. And so I've learned to let go and I'm just living. I set a goal at times. So I had the goal long time ago. I had the goal to represent Mexico in Olympic Games, right? Mm-hmm. And then I got my injuries. Then I got asthma. So then I forgot about it. I'm like, you know what? Who cares if it happens or not? Right now, I just want to run. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, I ran a really fast half marathon that set me as an alternate. So they sent me as an alternate. And I was just so thankful because at this point, just what I told you, I had forgotten about this goal. I knew it could happen, but then I focused on the process. So now, you know, I'm just taking one at a time. I mean, we just came back and now there's a possibility that I will represent my country in either World Championships or another international event. And I have another marathon coming up. So now I'm just working on to that. And once that's done, then I'll focus on the next goal. So yes, my overall goal is I still want to keep being faster and I want to represent my country. And of course I want to, you know, once I'm in the start line, then it's game time. So right. I'm going to try to either win or go fast or whatever. But again, I've had marathons where I had one where I'm running and I'm running really well. And then I just start feeling my chest, you know, and then I can finish. So you just learn to embrace the moment because maybe this is the last stride I can ever take. And here's the thing. you don't have asthma, but you don't know if this is the last stride you will ever take.
Right.
Because we can all, you know, it's getting really dark, but then anyone can die at a given moment, right?
So right,
just enjoy
certainly. Enjoy
what you're doing and enjoy the opportunity that today you don't have to run. You get to run.
Yeah, that's a big mental switch that I think we don't always take, or we don't always think about it that way. Especially, you know, when you're training for a race, and maybe it's that early morning, or it's that 20 mile long run that nobody really likes, but everybody knows that they're beneficial, so we do them. But yeah, like, you know, at the end of the day, if it's not something that you enjoy doing and you're finding joy in it, you know, maybe you need to reassess why you're in the sport to begin with.
Well, and you know what? I remember perfectly when I was having one of my many injuries, right? I'm like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to run 6 miles, which, you know, generally 6 miles is not even, it's warm up, right? But I went out, I was like, yeah, I can do this and I'm going to push myself. So this is what happened 2 days before or the week before. I'm sure you are familiar with the name Amy Van Dyken. So Amy Van Dyken is a kick-ass swimmer. I'm sorry for saying that word, but she is.
She is, though. It fits, yeah.
I mean, she won, you know, all these medals and blah, 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 blah. And she has the best personality ever, and she's such a fighter. So the week before that run that I did, she was in Sholo, Arizona, and she was in an ATV, and she had an accident. And Amy got paraplegic. She can't move her legs, right? And she's in a wheelchair. By the way, she is rocking it. I mean, she's doing everything. She's seriously, if anyone wants to find motivation any day, just follow her, you know, on Instagram. She's fantastic. And she's like, I'm going to walk. And you know what? I'm pretty sure she will walk. I don't know how, but she will. Anyway, I'm running. And I'm running, and then my hip starts hurting, and my mind goes into, oh no, now it's hurting, and now and I have the goals, and what am I gonna do, and now I have to push back my workouts, and I'm not, you know, like you go into this awful cycle of negative thoughts, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, Amy's face came to my mind, and I'm just thinking, I am feeling pain in my leg, it's hurting really bad, I'm sure she wished she could feel this pain right now. And she would be thankful to feel the pain. So that just humbled me and changed completely my approach to it. Because I was thinking, yes, this sucks, but I'm thankful that I can feel it. Because there's people in this world that can't.
Right.
And you know what? Yes, this sucks, but I will wait some time. I will do physical therapy, whatever I need to do, right? And then I will be able to run again. Or whatever, right? Or walk. And there's a lot of people that don't get that opportunity. So when you think of these things, you know, when you just stop focusing on your own misery and you realize you have a lot of things to be thankful for. And yes, you may not achieve your goal by December, but that doesn't mean you cannot achieve it. You can still, you still have the opportunity to do it. So as you said, you know, every time we go out and we run, we don't have to run. I don't think that anyone has to run unless, you know, you are one of the kids in Sudan that were literally running for their lives, right?
Right, literally, yes.
but other than that, no one has to run. We choose to run. We get to run. So if we change that idea of, you know, to, wow, this is awesome. I get to run today. I get to do a workout today. The workout didn't go well. It doesn't matter, you know, because I get to do it again whenever I want. So then you just change this and you just embrace it, and somehow it feels easier.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's you know, we kept coming back to all of the mind and the mental aspects of it. And I think that, like I said, obviously that's something I need to work on. And I know I'm not the only person, but I agree. You know, it is a gift. It is a joy, and it's something that we should hopefully never take for granted. Even though we do sometimes, it's always a good reminder that we're lucky and we're blessed, and we're able to do something that we do enjoy, and we have the health to do that as well. So that's something that we can't forget about for sure.
Yeah, it's true.
So as we're wrapping up, Terry, I'd love to ask a little bit of a what I call kind of a philosophical question. So it's a little bit maybe different than anything that we've really talked about, although maybe it'll tie in. Depends. It's up to you. They're completely open-ended. you can take it wherever you want to. But I've said several times on the show, and people probably get sick of me sometimes referencing back to the same things over and over and over again, but I've said several times that I feel like running is a great metaphor for life and a great teacher for other things, other lessons about other avenues of life beyond just putting one foot in front of the other until, you know, we get to the finish line. And I'd be curious, you know, in your years as a runner, what are maybe a top lesson or two, or what things has running taught you about life beyond just running?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. And it just has, you know, it has taught me to, as I was telling you, just to embrace whatever is coming at the moment. Because when you run a marathon, for example, or any race, right, you're going to have some miles where you're going to be feeling awesome and like you're flying and everything is great. And then all of a sudden you feel like, you know, crap, and you feel that you can't go. And then somehow, you know, you get a second wind and you feel great. And then you're struggling again. But then you finish. And once you finish, you forget everything and it's all worth it. And that's life. There are times in your life where, you know, everything goes well and things are just working perfectly. And this is awesome. But then there are times where, you know, life throws you some balls or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think about those crappy miles in my marathon, right? I just remember if I hang here, you know, if I just embrace this and I just hang here for a little bit, somehow this will turn and I will have my good miles again, mm-hmm. right? So that's one of the things that it has taught me. The other thing is, as I said, just to be patient, mm-hmm. because I want a lot of things in my life. I mean, there's other things that I do in my life, right? And I used to be the, it's now or now, and you know? And the truth is, with swimming, even though I don't think I am a real swimmer or whatever, I work really hard, but it kind of, the progression went the way that I planned it. I had a fantastic career, right? Like I wanted to do this, and it came even faster than I thought. So when I started running, because running, I think, comes easier for me, I thought, you know, there's going to be this progression and this is how it's going to go. And then, you know, as I told you, I got injured, I had asthma, I got all this stuff. And it has just taught me to be patient. Mm. I have to be patient, and I am way more resilient than I thought. It has taught me to be tough, but not tough in like, oh my gosh, I can take everything. Just tough in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And the best thing also is my daughter gets to see me running, and she gets to see that there are days that I'm really tired and I still go out and run because I have my goals. Mm-hmm. And without even thinking, the other day I told her, because she does 100 activities, and I said, she's like, oh, I have a lot of homework and I'm really tired. I said, well, maybe you should stay. She's like, Mom, I have to go swimming. I said, you don't have to. She's like, no, but I have my goal. I want to go swimming. And I just thought, well, this is pretty cool. She's 10, right? And I don't tell her these things, but she sees these things. So I think it's not only to me, but when you do something, and if you have family or friends or kids or anyone around you, not only you are learning about yourself, but they are also learning about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I love when I go to 5Ks or the marathon or whatever, and I see all these people that come and the families are cheering for them. And it's not about what place they are going to get. It's not about the time they're going to go. It's the fact that they have been training for this. They are starting and they're finishing. Mm-hmm. That's just so awesome.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's a great place to wrap things up today. Guys, insightfulrunner.com is the website. At Terry Zacher on social media, on Instagram and on Twitter. Again, TereZacher. The links to everything that we talked about at dizruns.com/308. So, Terry, thank you. Thank you for taking the time today. Thank you for giving me plenty of homework to work on as far as improving my mental game and getting stronger between the ears. You know, like we said earlier, one step at a time, one bite at a time, break it down and just keep working on stuff and keep staying positive. That's my takeaway from this one. So, I'll keep doing that. And hopefully I can report back at some point saying that, well, not hopefully, I will be able to report back at some point
in
the future
that.
that it's paid off and that you know, the goals are coming into focus. So thank you for your time and the insight and the wisdom and all the best going forward and good luck at whatever race you end up at where you represent in Mexico. That's super exciting.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's chat with between Terry and myself. I hope that you enjoyed it and got as much out of it as I did, because it definitely I got a lot of things out of it, you know, with all the mental talk and how many times I've talked about how that's definitely my weak link. It was great to you know, just hear not only Terry's story, but also get a little bit of some tips and some tricks and some things that I can do to hopefully help improve my mental game. And hopefully, if that's something that you struggle with, you were able to glean some things as well. As always, I'd love to know what stood out to you specifically from this episode. What was your standout moment? For me, the thing that really kind of clicked or made the biggest impact was early in the episode when Terry basically said that, you know, you have to set goals that are under your control. And, you know, I think in running, sometimes we lose sight that, or at least I know I lose sight of the fact that a time goal is not necessarily something that you can always control. You know, I've talked however many times, it's been dozens of times, about my goal to get into Boston and you know, having to reach a certain time goal to get there. And, you know, well, you could make the argument that you know, I can train and do these different things to reach that time goal. You know, even then, you can be perfectly trained and there can be plenty of things, from environmental impact to race, you know, to the course design, to other racers, to, you know, the what you eat, having GI issues. There are so many other variables that can come into play that can prevent you from nailing your time goal. And that's always been a big goal of mine. Is that time goal, is to try to get faster to get to Boston. And while that will maintain a goal, the takeaway from this episode for me is that, you know, it's okay to have other goals that aren't as specific to time that are completely within my control. So my mental state, you know, just my outlook, how I'm feeling, running a tactically smart race, not going out too fast, all those types of things are things that are within my control. And so maybe I should focus more on those, and then some of those time goals, some of those other things that are a little bit more out of my control might just fall into place, which was kind of a lot of what I got from talking to Terry. So that was my big takeaway. I would love to hear what was your takeaway? What stood out to you from this episode? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com, or head to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/308, and leave a comment. And that way other folks can see what stood out to you and maybe spark up a little bit of a conversation there as well. That's it for today, guys. Thanks for tagging along. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that you got as much out of it as I did. Like I said, this is a pretty value-packed episode, if I do say so myself. So hopefully you got something that can help you on the mental side of your training and whatnot as well. And if you need some help with the physical side of your training, how's that for a segue? Pretty good, eh? Head over to DizRuns.com/coterie and just check out what the coterie entails and whether or not it might be for you. And if it is, don't forget that on September the 15th, 2016, the price is going up. $10 per month is what is going up. So you can get in now and basically, the reason for the price increase is people in the group have been saying I'm not charging enough. So, hey, might as well listen to them, right? So check it out. If that's something that you're interested, let me know what questions you might have, and I'll get those answers to you ASAP so you can decide if it's right for you at this time. And if it's not, well, I'm not going anywhere, so you can always come along a little bit later, farther down the road, if that's what suits you. So with that, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for, again, for coming along with us and letting me share a few miles with you or whatever it is you're doing today. Thanks for taking me with you. And I hope you have a great rest of the day and look forward to talking to you again real soon. Take care, guys.